we're just marking time till you could be.
We're back. That was Kat Mills from her album, Two, Walking Away. We're here with our guest, Kelly Cass. She is the executive director of Mountain View Humane. And just before the break, we were responding, or Kelly was helping us respond to some of the myths around spay-neuter. One of them, Kelly, is that, you know, my dog or cat is so special, and I want a puppy just like, you know, my pet. And that's why I don't want to have my pet spayed or neutered.
Yeah, I've never actually seen that work out for anyone. and I have talked to people who have gone that road. And the animal may look exactly like your previous one, but the personality is always different. Each animal is just like each person. They're very unique. And just because you and your wife have a child, it's not going to be exactly like you. And it's the same thing for animals. Each one has their own little personality, and each one greets you in a certain way. And just the wonderful things that you love about your animal, you love that animal because those things make it unique. And there's a reason that animal is unique. And so that's why, you know, we try to encourage people, rather than trying to make a carbon copy, go to a rescue, go to a shelter, and find a new animal that you can bond with and love in its own unique way.
You know, another one is that the owner says, you know, I don't want to have my animal spayed or neutered, and I'll deal with the problem. I'll find good homes for all those puppies or all those kittens myself.
Right, and I have run into that, and sometimes they're successful in that, but every time they're successful in that, those are homes that maybe would have gone to an animal that's waiting in a shelter. You know, if you're giving a friend a dog who says, yeah, I want to get a dog for my kid, oh, great, I have a puppy I can give you. That's great, other than the fact that if you had never had those puppies, that person would have went to a shelter or rescue and gotten one, and that's one less animal that would have been euthanized.
So it's something for us to really consider as a community. It's a community issue,
right.
And that a spay-neuter program really helps us address that. The last concern is kind of a bottom-line one, and people say, it's expensive. And
right.
I just can't afford it.
Right. And for us, that's been the issue that the whole reason we're here is to overcome that I can't afford it issue. We took a survey of all the veterinarians in our service area and wanted to make sure that we were going to be able to offer a service at a price that would make it really conducive to people to come. And we have several veterinarians in the area who are helping us with that, not necessarily financially, but they help support our efforts by doing a free surgery incision check after the fact. Within a week of surgery, they'll check the incision, make sure it's healing properly, talk to that person about vaccine needs, things like that. But we do provide the service at a much reduced cost compared to a typical veterinarian. The fees start at about $45 for a male cat to be neutered, and they go up from there depending on the type of animal, whether it's a spay or a neuter, and the size of the animal. For large dogs, it's kind of like doing surgery on a person. So it is a little bit more expensive, but we still are by far able to offer the service at a price that you can't get it anywhere else.
And if somebody can't really afford it, what do you say?
If someone calls and they ask for the price and they say, well, I can't really afford that, or they say, I'm going to have to save up for a couple of months, we'll try every which way we know to help them get the money to have it done right now. There are organizations in the area that will help fund those. We actually have an organization within our own organization called Spay It Forward, and that's where people who come into our clinic will actually donate money to help others, and that's where we really see the community step up and help itself. And so we do provide funding for those who cannot provide it themselves as much as humanly possible. You know, there's always going to be situations where we can only help so much, and we'll say, well, we can provide this much, but you'll have to come up with the rest. But even in those cases, usually people are very thankful for the additional funding, and we usually can work it out. One way or another, we will get the animal fixed.
Yeah. And I noticed you were mentioning that several veterinarians in the area are offering to do the post-op checkup.
Right.
of animals, instead of having to come all the way back to your clinic, they can go to a veterinarian in their local neighborhood, perhaps.
Right. Whenever the animal has surgery, we give them a list of the veterinarians who offer the free check. They are welcome to bring their animal back to our clinic for a free check at any point in the following couple of weeks after surgery. Spay and neuter is all that we do, so we don't do the routine maintenance for the following years. So we really encourage people to take their animal to the closest veterinarian that offers this free check so that they can start a relationship with that veterinarian. They can get put into their system to be reminded of when vaccines need to be updated, those types of things. So that way they can really get to know a veterinarian. Even if they never go back, they may have a time where an animal has an issue and they don't know where to turn. I know when I worked at the food pantry on a volunteer basis, I had a lady come in one day when she got cat food and said, yeah, my cat started dragging his leg and I don't know what to do for him and I have no money. Well, we weren't in a position to even give her an idea of a place to go. This really gives the person a name, a phone number to call, and have someone that they've already met. That person's already met the animal, so at least they have a starting point to try to get help outside of spay and neuter.
It's having a medical home.
Exactly.
For your pet. Another question for you, Kelly, about the best age for a young animal.
Right.
Somebody has a pet that's a puppy. When should they consider having the animal spayed or neutered?
We will do them as young as 2 pounds, 8 weeks, and which is really young. We are probably one of the few facilities around that will do them that young. However, we are 100% behind our medicine. We know that it's high quality. We know that it's successful. It's built upon years of service in other areas. Most of the medical staff has worked in spay and neuter at some form or fashion prior to coming here. So we know that it's a safe practice. An animal becomes sexually mature somewhere around 6 months of age, and so it's really important to have the animal spayed or neutered prior to that to make sure that they don't get pregnant or they don't decide to, in a male's case, really start running looking for a female.
What are the benefits of not waiting? Or maybe put it the other way, what are there downsides to putting it off for several years, 3, 4, 5, 6 years?
There are some downsides medically. When you remove those reproductive organs, it eliminates some possible causes of future health issues. I have a chow who wasn't spayed until she was 7, and at 10 years old, she got breast cancer, which most people think breast cancer in a dog. But at the same time, there are a lot of reproductive problems that animals can have, and if you have those hormonal issues addressed at an early age, those types of issues typically don't come up, and the animal typically lives longer.
Mm-hmm. Does the clinic provide vaccination booster services?
We do not. We provide vaccinations or boosters at the time of the surgery. Some people will come and the animal hasn't had any vaccines, or they don't know because they just adopted him from a shelter. So there are times when they say, oh, I have no idea, and we'll give them whatever vaccines the owner needs at that point. The only vaccine that's required is a rabies vaccine, and that is required by state law that you have to have your animal up on rabies, your dog up on rabies. So we do provide the rabies, absolutely, if they don't have a certificate. The other vaccines are $10 a piece and are available at the owner's discretion.
You're listening to Talk at the Table. I'm your host, Andy Morikawa, and our guest is Kelly Cass. She is the executive director of Mountain View Humane, a spay-neuter clinic that just opened up in August. And again, Kelly, how many surgeries have you done?
We've done 1,219 surgeries so far.
Obviously, they have been doing a very busy business. And if you have questions for her, please feel free to call us at 231-9888. We're here in our studios on the campus of Virginia Tech. Kelly, tell us a bit about the network of animal welfare organizations that you're a part of. I think it's good news for folks who are concerned about community awareness with regard to animal welfare. And I'm aware of a few of those. There's Angels of Assisi, of course, in Roanoke County, and Planned Pethood in Franklin County, And there's, I think, a South Central Spay-Neuter Clinic in Campbell County. Tell us about that network and the way you guys work together.
Right. There's an organization called Humane Alliance, and it is a spay and neuter clinic in Asheville, North Carolina. And they have really taken on the role of a teaching hospital. They've helped start over 70 spay and neuter clinics, of which we are one. Mm. Another one is Margaret B. Mitchell Clinic in Bristol. And there's another one up in the Shenandoah Valley, as well as the one you mentioned in Campbell County. All of those are Humane Alliance modeled clinics. Mm. And what that means is we're not starting from scratch. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're building our educational abilities, and we're building our medical abilities on the backs of a proven process. At Humane Alliance, they have the capability of doing 55,000 surgeries in a year. They don't take advantage of that because they are a teaching hospital and they work at a slower pace, but if they really wanted to just absolutely nail it down, they could do that many a year. So they're an organization that's been around for quite a while, and they've helped us get started as well as so many other clinics.
Now, education is clearly such an important part of the work that you all do. It's one thing to be able to provide the service, and it's quite another to let people know that you're even there. What do you do,
right,
and how can people help get the word out about the clinic?
Yeah, we ask people to do two things for us. Talk about us, especially if you've been to our clinic. Tell people about us, and to invite us. Invite us to come to your organization, to your classroom, to your Sunday school room. I've made jokes that I'll go talk to anyone, anywhere. It really doesn't matter. Invite me to a cafe, and I'll show up. But we also try to get tours as much as possible, and we try to schedule group tours. Our building was actually designed with the capacity for tours. We have a conference room that's situated so that you can stand in that conference room and watch the entire medical process. So you're there, but you're not in the way, so to speak. And so many clinics really aren't designed that way and really aren't as community friendly as we are. So we really strive to have people come in, see what we do, see who we are, and really dispel the myths of what a spay and neuter clinic is. So many people think spay and neuter is, because it's low cost, it's going to be low quality, and it's not that at all. We are a veterinary clinic, a true clinic, a specialized clinic, and because of that, when people come in, a lot of times they're really surprised by the professionalism and the cleanliness of the facility.
Mm-hmm. And you're located right in downtown Christiansburg, just about a block away from the courthouse, and as I recall, there are no meters anymore on the streets, so free parking.
It's free parking. And we actually have our own parking lot behind our building that will hold 20-some cars.
And so what's the address?
We're at 53 West Main Street. Most people know where the McAdoo's is. We're in the same block as McAdoo's. If you're standing in McAdoo's parking lot, our parking lot's to the far right. But we're in that same little row.
And then how do people get in touch with you if they have questions, if they want to volunteer, if they want to help out?
Anyone can call anytime with a question, or if they want to volunteer, or if they want to purchase some items from our wish list or donate. Our phone number is 382-0222. And we have a website, or you can find us on Facebook. If you just search for Mountain View Humane, you'll find us on Facebook and get to keep up with us. We also encourage people who have had their animals fixed at our clinic to post their picture on our Facebook page, and that's become a really fun thing to go on and see some of the animals. And all of the staff have kind of taken on the motto of treating every animal as if it's yours. So we'll get to know the animal as best we can, and so when someone posts a new picture, there's always someone on the staff who'll say, "Oh, I remember that cat. He's so funny." So
you're listening to Talk at the Table. Our guest is Kelly Cass. She's the executive director at Mountain View Humane. We're going to take a short break and listen again to Kat Mills from her latest CD, Townie. And this is If I Needed You.
Come.
You're listening to Talk at the Table. I'm your host, Andy Morikawa. Our guest today is Kelly Cass. She's the executive director of Mountain View Humane. And Kelly, we were just talking during the break about fundraising, and these are tough times for nonprofits generally, and I would imagine for you as well. And since Mountain View Humane is a nonprofit 501c3, that relies on the generous support of local community, families, local businesses. Give us a sense of Mountain View's annual operating budget and kind of what your fundraising goals are.
Right now, our operating budget is in a growth mode. We are not quite up to speed as far as doing as many surgeries as we would like. The projected operating budget will be about $500,000 a year once we're up to full capacity, which we're nowhere near that right now. But because we're in growth mode, some things like rent and utilities aren't going to grow with us. They're there and we have to pay them now. So we're more dependent right now on fundraising and financial aid from organizations than we typically will be in the future. But for right now, we are fundraising primarily for two things. We're fundraising for a transport vehicle to go to outlying areas and pick up animals. And we're fundraising for spay it forward money to be able to help people cover their costs. If we can get to the point that we're doing 30, 35 animals a day, we'll be able to provide those two services with our donations and cover all of our own costs through animal service fees.
So through the services themselves and the fees generate, you're going to be able to pretty much support yourself.
Exactly. And that's one of the great things about a spay and neuter clinic as an investment in your community. We're not an organization that will be sending you a letter every year for the next 30 years asking you to continue to support us. It would be great if people want to do that. We would use that money to support people who need subsidy funding, who can't afford to get their animals fixed. You know, we get phone calls from people who say, I have 10 cats and I can't afford $500 to get them fixed. And so we have to be able to find those resources. But initially, we are doing some fundraising right now, but in the future, we hope to be a standalone unit that will be able to support ourselves. And the way we can do that at such a low rate is usually the question people ask, but that's possible because we have a limited amount of medical equipment. We don't provide every service that every veterinary clinic provides. We only buy equipment that serves exactly what we need. So our medical equipment investment is lower than most. And we do provide high-quality medicine with the lowest possible investment in that medical equipment as well as in staff.
And in this startup mode, what are some of the material needs that you've got? I know that you've got a list on your website, and how about giving us kind of an updated look at that?
We do. We have a list on our website, and some people like to call and ask questions. Some of the items are more interesting than others. We have a need for pillowcases, athletic socks, rice, yarn.
Wait a minute. Athletic socks?
Athletic socks. It's so interesting because we can use things like athletic socks full of rice as heating pads rather than having to invest in medical heating pads, and it works just as well. I encourage people, if you have a backache or you need a heating pad and don't have one, dump some uncooked rice in an athletic sock, pop it in the microwave, and you're good to go.
I was wondering what the rice was about.
Exactly.
Okay. You know, the other day, a friend of mine who is a very generous donor to nonprofit causes of all kinds We were having coffee together, and she asked me, as she does at times, if I knew of any new emerging nonprofit organizations that she might consider to add to her donation list. She's a very generous donor. And I said, as a matter of fact, I do, and I'll be interviewing the executive director in this Sunday's program. And she said, well, what is it? And I said, it is Mountain View Humane. It's a spay-neuter clinic. And as soon as those words got out of my mouth, her eyebrows went up, and she said something to the effect of, animals? When there are hungry children in our community, how can you possibly suggest to me that I make a donation to an animal clinic?
Right.
And
yeah, we hear that quite often because we are still fundraising. And we've been fundraising for 2 years trying to get the clinic open. And it took a long time because of that argument. And that argument is valid in that we need to feed the hungry, absolutely. But at the same time, animals serve a purpose in so many people's lives that we don't even really see unless you've been there or done that. In the years I volunteered with the food pantry, I couldn't tell you how many times I would talk to someone who lived alone and all they had were their cats or their dogs, or they would come in and tell you, oh yeah, I'm almost 80 and my kids live in Nebraska and they didn't have anyone. But when you said, hey, how's your cat? Suddenly their face would light up and their ability to connect with you became so much stronger. And so the service is for animals, but it's primarily aimed at people who can't provide that service on their own, and we want to help them provide that service so that they can take pride in knowing that they've provided the best medical care they can provide for their best friend, which is really what the animals are.
There's something very special about that bond between a human and their pet.
Right, yeah.
It's hard to talk about it. It's hard to explain. If you haven't had a pet,
right,
it's very difficult to talk about that connection, but it's something about, it's a living thing. And it's a sentient being. I mean, it knows who you are,
and it recognizes
you. There have been
some rescuers who have made jokes about the fact that when you come home from work, who's the first person to greet you at the door? Well, it's probably not a person. It's probably the dog. It's probably the dog wanting to jump up and down and say, yay, you're here. Meanwhile, your spouse is down the hall doing heaven knows what. And, you know, that animal is so excited just to see you on a regular basis that's worth so much to some people. There have been studies that have shown that the loss of a pet is very similar to the loss of a loved one as far as the brain activity going on, you know, physiologically what's going on with your body. It's very similar. And so that just testifies to non-animal lovers that it really is something very valuable to a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, indeed. For myself, I've got my wife and I have two cats, and what the oldest is, I think, 17 years old.
Wow.
And I know that, you know, she won't be around too much longer. And I fret when I think about what it would be like without her.
Yeah, and that's something that we see quite often is people who have lost a pet, how they deal with the next pet is definitely emotionally charged by that. We had a customer who came in, and she had had a cat pass away recently, and this cat she thought was pregnant, and so she wanted to allow this cat to have the babies, but she could tell something wasn't right. And so she came in very conflicted and didn't really know what to do, and so we asked her, you know, let us help your pet. And it turned out the pet was not pregnant. It turned out the pet had a very bad infection and had swollen to the point that she looked pregnant. And if she had not brought that cat in, she would have lost yet another cat. So there are times when that emotional charge of the death of a previous animal really can get in the way of your decision-making ability with the next animal. And that's why it's so important that we do try to be there for people. We try to be available to answer questions. We get phone calls with all kinds of questions in any given day, and that's great. We're just glad to be available to the community.
Do you have volunteer opportunities for folks who are interested?
We do a tremendous amount of laundry. We have each animal, we're very conscious of contagious disease, and so each animal has its own blanket that goes with it. Everywhere it goes in the hospital, it has its own blanket with it. And then we have laundry that's made just for covering recovery mats and things like that. So we do a tremendous amount of laundry. We have volunteers who come in and just do laundry the whole time we're there. We have people who wash instruments. We have people who do their own fundraisers. We have a lovely woman who's been doing pet photos for us in Radford and Dublin. So there's a tremendous amount of volunteer opportunities. I tell people all the time, if you have a skill, I guarantee you I can find a way to use it to support the animals.
And how do they get in touch with you?
They can call us at 382-0222, or they can reach out to us on the web at mountainviewspayneuter.org. Or if you have a hard time with that, or you just want to find us on Facebook, you can hunt for us on Facebook by searching Mountain View Humane. And on there you can see a wide variety of pictures. We've actually gotten all of the pictures going back to when we first rented our building. It was an insurance facility before we bought it, and it had some interesting wallpaper and some interesting carpet, and now it looks like a medical facility. But you can watch the progression of that building and of the organization coming together as a whole. It's really neat.
Kelly, thank you so much for being our guest today. And for all of our listeners, again, Kelly is the executive director of Mountain View Humane, the spay-neuter clinic that has been operating in Christiansburg since August. And check them out. And they're a great organization doing very important work in our community today. You're listening to Talk at the Table. I'm your host, Andy Morikawa. Next week, we're going to be back. We'll have more guests, and look forward to broadcasting through the holiday and being with you. We're going to close with a song by Bob Dylan, Handsome Molly, from his album Live at the Gaslight, 1962.
Bob Dylan, however you want to say his name, Live at the Gaslight in 1962. And that was the end of the Talk of the Table show. Andy will be back next week. And right now, we're going to start out the WVT Top 7, counting down the top 7 albums played in the previous week. I'm going to start it off with Small Black with their new chain album. Let's take a listen to Camouflage. Enjoy it here on WVT FM Blacksburg. That's Black Mountain. Black Mountain here on WUVT FM Blacksburg. They're in at number 6 with their Wilderness Heart album. I mean, that's the song, Wilderness Heart. Up next, this is War Paint, the album The Fool. We're going to take a listen to Majesty. This is the WUVT Top 7, counting down the top 7 albums played in the previous week.
Your hand, when I held your hand, when I helped you. When I held your hand, you still went the other way. And you wanted me to stay with my arms stretching away. With my arms stretching away, I couldn't stand that sight. 'Cause I could it be that I'm the same? Could it be I'm your mirror? Showing you all those things that you never wanted to face.
That's Bare Hands here on WUVT FM Blacksburg with their Burning Bush Summer Club album. It's number 4. We just took a listen to Can't Stick 'Em. Again, this is the WUVT Top 7, counting down the top 7 albums played the previous week. And up next, we have a new one from Brian Eno. The album is Small Craft on a Milk Sea, and the song is Two Forms of Anger. It's in at number 3. We'll be right back. That's Nitzer Ebb here on WUVT with the song My Door Is Open. And in case you couldn't tell, the album was Industrial Complex, in at number two. Let's recap the top seven here so far before we get to the number one. Number seven, Small Black, New Chain. Number six, Black Mountain with their Wilderness Heart album. Number five, War Paint, the album The Fool. Number four, Bare Hands, and that's bare like the animal, with their album Burning Bush Summer Club. Number three, a new one from Brian Eno called Small Craft on the Milk Sea. And again, number two, Nitzer Ebb with Industrial Complex. And in at number one, I guess I should mention all of those, plus one more. So two through seven, plus one more, all had four spins. So it was a big two-way, seven-way tie for second place, I guess. Deer Hunter here stands out at number one with their Halcyon Digest. We're going to take a listen to He Would Have Laughed. It's only here on WUVT-FM Blacksburg. Toon Talk is up next.